Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, folks. And we use that word, folks, in honor of all of you in the South that turn in every Wednesday night to see us. We're sure glad you're with us tonight. And as we always say, we hope you're having a great week so far. Hope you had a wonderful weekend and that God's working and in your life today. As you know, this is Raising Expectation, and we are a band of believers. We know who Jesus is. We're so glad he died for our sins, that he's coming again, and we know where we're going. And in the meantime, when we don't know where we're going, we know someone who does. It's really great to know that he's there to give us direction each and every day. So welcome again to Raising Expectations. We've got a great show planned for you tonight, and we'll be talking about that. But before we do that, let's quickly go through our wonderful team of co-hosts. I'm Pastor Joe. You all know me, and this group of people is a blessing to me. And I know they are to you because I get texts back from you during the week. So I just want to begin on the West Coast. And there, you know, we have in Lompoc, California, Dr. Paul Hall. And Dr. Paul is a very special man, and there he is. And now he has a bookcase. I guess the Cowboys left. But in any event,
the Cowboys will be back. I'll help you out, Frank.
They'll be back. Don't worry. They're coming back. We have a lot of fun as a family. When we have special guests, Paul always has a great line to bring us in to help welcome everybody. So Paul's a retired pastor. He's a theologian. He's a you name it, he's done it to bless people in churches, on campuses, and everywhere he's been. There you go. He also is a miracle worker. See that? I didn't even see his nose move. But there it is, Dallas Cowboys. And that's in honor of our guest tonight, who's coming on here in just a minute, just to make him feel right at home. So Paul's right there. And Paul, we're sure glad you're here. Paul is our scribe. As you know, he's working on the book, and each of our programs is being written about, and the book's going to be coming out. You'll be able to follow the program and get little things from everybody in case you didn't take notes on the program. So Paul and I are going to jog across the nation all the way to the south, the east part of the south, which is Dalton, Georgia. And right there, we have Steph Thayer and Dr. Craig Thayer, two of our favorite people in the world. There's Steph, and there is Tank. We call him Tank. Steph is a health and wellness specialist. She is a renowned. She's just the best. For time's sake, I'll tell you, she's the best in the world, and that covers it, and we only speak truth here. So she also has a wonderful, wonderful website, Live Your Life Out Loud, and she speaks to women in need and women who are facing things in life, and she brings them in line with what God's given them and how God has blessed them and how they can, with God, overcome things in their lives. She does a wonderful job of helping people this way, and we just are so glad that she's part of our family. And she also did a wonderful job on this man called Craig Thayer, and turned out the number one husband you're going to find right there, and that is Tank. Good job. Tank is a surgeon. He's a trauma surgeon. He's a general surgeon. He takes care of anybody, whatever the situation might be. He's also a dad. He's a coach, water polo coach. And if you ever played water polo, you have great respect for him at this point, because that's not easy. And he is there also, and he is an author, first-time author, and his book is called Saved. And you can find that right here on our website. There it is, Saved. And the title is right there, Finding God in the Ordinary. And whether we know it or not, each of us live in the ordinary because anything we can do is ordinary to God. And he's in the middle of it with us and save the miracles of his life. He brings to life those things. I put him right there next to Dr. Chauncey, who talks about his heart and things like this. And this is that kind of a book that will lift you up, give you strength, and show you why it does and how it works. You'll want to get your copy of Saved. You can get it right there on our website. And right above it, my book is Legitimate Faith. That was set up by Zig Ziglar, who said, Joe, you are going to write this. It's the first 11 verses of the book of Hebrews 11, and it speaks about producing authentic hope. And hope, as you know, in the Old Testament is assurance, and that assurance is authentic when it's in your life. And that's what this will hopefully lead in your life. So hope you look into those. And though this is part of our team there, and they bless us and minister in our lives each week also. And then if we all come together, and we tiptoe through the tulips across the Alabama and Mississippi. We hit Louisiana. Watch out for the crocs. And then we make our way across the Mississippi. I could feel it. I could feel it. We end up there in northeast Texas in the great thriving metropolis of McKinney. And there's where we find Pastor Ron Greer, who is our favorite pastor in the state of Texas. And he also, as we always say, possesses, yes, the greatest bookcase you'll ever find. It's a magic bookcase. When you open the door, you don't know where it goes. And you don't know which book to pull to open the door, right, Paul? We don't know.
Right.
But in any event, he is a counselor. He's run for office. He knows politics. He's an incredible rounded man of God and the things that he's done in his life. He's with Man in the Mirror now out of Florida. And they're probably in Georgia too, but the main one I know of there is in Florida. And you can read about him there on his webpage. You can pick all these up on our website, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And you can read about all of our co-hosts right there and what they've done and what God's doing through their life. So we invite you to always during the week, pop into the website and see what's going on and pray for all of us. You know, we're praying for you. You pray for us too. Different things happening in our lives. So tonight, as we come together, we're going to jump right in here because they're on the East Coast. So it's later on the East Coast. So I thought about having Steph lead the East Coast participants in a couple of jumping jacks around or something like that. But they're sure that they're ready to rock and roll tonight. So we're going to be in good shape. That's a little harder than on the East Coast. So moving right along here, our guest tonight is very, very special. He is, as you know, Frank Roberson, the founder of Black Rhino Protection Services. And the reason Frank is a very special man for us to be with tonight, really you find right in the website. I hope you've looked at this during the week. Frank put together this organization and when we look at the growing dangers in America today, we can see why what he has to share is very important. And they're going to get worse between now through the summer going into the elections that are coming up. Now, Frank is a specialist. He has insights that I hope you'll catch tonight. These are little things that become major things if you have to use them in your life. And, you know, I think we can all say with the anti-Semitic Hamas terrorist-led riots that spread across our nation and our university campuses, they presented a clear and present danger and illuminated it quite brightly. Add to that the Middle East crisis, the border crisis, the East war in Ukraine, the things that are happening around the world. Many people are really believing that we're headed for a 1968 summer rerun, if you remember 1968, particularly the Democratic Convention there in Chicago and all the trauma and terror that took place. There's a lot happening that could change our nation right now, and prayer is the key. I put up, and you've all responded a lot to me this week on George Washington and the prayer he had for the nation and how the founding father that led our Congress there in the beginning refused to be king, instead was a common man, said, I love this nation, and all those things in prayer are important. So I'm going to bring Frank on, and just as I do, I want to remind you of a great verse for this. When you start to get worried about things without going into illustration, open your Bible to John 16:33, because when they left the upper room and Jesus was discussing the Last Supper with them, which they didn't know entirely was the Last Supper, he told them this, and it fits where we are today, where he very clearly said, hey, guys, it's a Scofield translation, guys, listen up, in this world, you're going to have some real tribulation, some real mess up, some real scare you situations. But be of good cheer. Keep looking up. He would say, hold on to your hat if you're from the South. He would say, because I've overcome the world. In the meantime, we know Christ has it all in his grace, and God is in control, and we know who we belong to and who lives in our lives. We also have been given the gift of prudence and intelligence on how to think about what we might need to do if, in fact, something very difficult turns up in our lives, where we might be, whether it's with a family, in a church, in a mall, traveling, driving somewhere, you don't know what could happen. So we want to welcome Frank Roberson back again tonight. Many of you are looking forward to this. You've contacted me on this, and he's going to be speaking about situational awareness. You know, he talked to us about being proactive rather than reactive, and shared some great insight on that. So, Frank, we want to give you the round of applause. How about that, Ron? I got it. Killed it. We're going to welcome you to Raising Expectations. Steph will kick us off there. And welcome, Frank. And those the background is just for you tonight to encourage you with Paul there. He's got it all set for you. Tell us what's going on a little bit as you view these things, Frank.
It seems like there's a lot going on in different parts of the world. So we'll just take the one that's in the news every day, the stuff going on at the college campuses. That's, I'm guessing y'all saw how Florida and Texas handled it. Followed the rules. They went right in. They didn't have negotiations. They didn't have threats. They didn't have red lines that weren't crossed and all that kind of thing. And now canceling commencements and all that kind of stuff and bending to demands. It still comes down to everyone has the right for the First Amendment, but at some point it becomes, and they cross a line and they become violent. When you write things on the walls and you tear things down and you do all that stuff, that's not peaceful, regardless of what ABC tells you. That stuff isn't peaceful. And peaceful is still being able to go to school and not worry about being attacked or not being welcome or being thrown off the campus for safety reasons or whatever. So unfortunately, the lack of leadership coming out and helping to try to put that down and bring back some order and some leadership has been lacking. Therefore, you have multiple people trying to get to the microphone to take that mantle, and it hasn't really worked because they don't really have that that thing that leaders have that can to command an audience or command attention type thing. The people that should are putting out deputy press secretary releases as opposed to coming out themselves and doing things. So it's making it more difficult when our leaders aren't stepping up to help out.
Amen. Yeah. In looking at as you've been watching that, Frank, and I know Ron watches all of this very close. He's got a lot of insight on this, as he shared in the past. And Tank, anybody want to jump in on that? And any questions again in light of our families and our churches, our people, and then our neighbors, our neighborhoods, things that we've seen that have come up. And if you're going to take a quick break there, Frank, or if you've got something you want to lead on it, that's fine. But I know we may have some insight and some questions on this, which would be great. Anybody want to?
Yeah, I mean, the empath or kind person in me hopes that the leaders of some of these campuses are just trying to do the politically correct thing and trying to keep peace. But obviously it hasn't worked. And you know, it's kind of at a microscopic level. You go to a worldly level. It's the same debate that's going on in our government. Like, do we need to fund Israel? Do we need to fund Ukraine? Do we need to, you know, why, right? And I think it was Roosevelt that said, you know, you carry a big stick. You know, and I've used the bully on the show analogy at some point. If you're bullied, like I was as a kid, you got to attack, and then they won't attack you anymore. Mm-hmm. So, So the kindness to me is that maybe some of these presidents are just trying to, you know, negotiate and keep, but obviously it doesn't work. It just gets worse. And Texas and Florida have shown you just keep the law.
Yeah, keep the law.
A Georgia trooper too that took that person down. I don't know if y'all saw that video, but
Yes.
Cowboys
At every.
that was a lady, by the way.
That guy took that one
Also,
broke down.
the lady policeman? I missed it, that one.
No, it was a
Oh,
guy
Georgia
policeman, but
trooper.
it was a lady.
I think
Georgia.
it was a male, Craig, that had long hair.
Okay.
So basically, it was at Emory, which is a private university. And I saw him get handcuffed earlier, and the officer went to take him, and he decided to throw himself on the ground, and the officer just chucked him up, carried him like he was a 2-year-old, and he's screaming. And the guy, the officer is
Yeah.
solid, and he's having none of it, and he just hauls him off. It was amazing.
Cool. Yeah,
Yeah.
the logo underneath that picture was, wonder what he bench presses.
Yeah,
Yeah.
he was solid. I have a question about universities. I mean, I know the first obvious answer you will give me is help your child choose well what school they're going to, because obviously the tolerance level for chaos is, very different among different universities and states. But, we have kids going to college. So, what would you tell them for awareness, for preparation? What can they do if they happen to be at one of these universities that's just chaotic? Good
That's a
question.
tough one because sometimes you don't see it coming. You hear about the professors at universities that are, I think the university professor system where they have lifetime tenure is just as bad as a congressman that can stay in there
Right.
for, because they're going to have a couple of generations maybe that they're going to teach their stuff as young as those kids come in. Into college now, 18 years old, over 4 years, they're going to teach them, how many different classes over the time that they're a tenured professor, and no one's there for accountability. They can't be fired. That type of thing causes problems. And it's interesting that the folks that were screaming and hollering for tolerance are the ones that are most intolerant. And that is a big problem because they don't see that. It's like, I think on one of the first shows I talked to you about, I used an analogy, a Star Wars analogy that I learned from a former agent from one of the three letter agencies that in the Star Wars series, the Empire always thinks they're doing the right thing to keep the peace. And what are they doing? They're going killing people and holding them down and doing all that. And the rebels think they're also doing the right thing. And things that have happened in the Middle East are 4,000 years old or something around there. And we're not going to change it overnight. And it's the tolerance and the not allowing for dialogue and to be able to do anything without a terrorist country threatening to annihilate them. And now you got another terrorist organization. Well, it was a terrorist organization, but was removed from the list. Now infiltrating themselves into our universities. You couldn't tell if you were a sophomore in college now, you didn't know that was going to happen a year ago. So it's very difficult to figure that out. And when it does start to happen, there are indicators, as I would mention every time I talk about situational awareness, there's always indicators before stuff like this happens. The group that is behind all this, I think it's Justice for Palestine, I believe, is the organization behind. They have 300 offices and campuses around the country. This didn't pop up overnight. They have people that have been talking about it for a while since October 7th. They have people that have been organizing things, buying tents, buying the stuff, and organizing meetings and that type of stuff. There were indicators that something like this was going to end up happening, but no one paid attention. And no one spoke up about it or whatever it was. Something happened at a leadership level where the ball was dropped or someone didn't report it. I doubt that the meetings and all the things that have to happen for this kind of thing to get this big was unseen by students that could have said something or professors that could have said something. But there again, you let
Firm
the
professors in the United
oh,
States refers to
no,
a group of
sorry.
educators.
You let the indicators go by and you don't pay attention to those indicators and think, oh, there's just a bunch of students just talking about stuff. And then it turns into this. And now, how do you rein it in? I mean, it's going to look bad now, no matter what happens. When the police go in and tear the things down, it's just going to be a mess. And you can't predict that from, say, a year ago. You can predict it maybe now. I'm not going to go to USC now. I'd rather go to Kansas University and get away from everything, you know, or Texas, because we know that they're going to send in troopers there and stomp it out in, you know, 20 minutes. But it's just hard to predict that kind of stuff. But there are indicators. And in this kind of thing, those indicators have a lot of time between the start and the finish to figure out.
Makes sense, yeah.
Oh, Ron, you're on mute.
I forgot I'm muted. I'm old, TJ. Sorry. I guess part of my concern is not just the lack of awareness on the part of college students. I mean, the fact that this thing just sort of spring up without the students being unaware, so they were completely missing. And also that it's coming from my parents, because I think the people have this idea that there's this thing happening on college campuses, when in actuality, there's this evil, wicked thing happening throughout the communities throughout the United States, period. The college campus is sort of the focal point and sort of the distraction for what's going on in other places. So my question to would be to families and individual people, especially Christians and churches, you know, what's your situation awareness? What are you noticing, and what should we be looking for? As a sidelight, I will say that this week I kind of did a little dance in my parking lot at our church, because someone finally got a clue. I'm sorry, almost said something else. Got a clue to actually have some real in-place security rather than the clown show we had before. Former CIA agent who's now in charge of security.
That's
Praise
right.
God. So what should be, again, something the churches are doing, something individual families are doing, and even I would even say employers or businesses.
Well, I had a meeting today about that subject. You've got to pick the right people to put in those positions, but you got to make the decision to do it, because we still have a lot of people in the mentality, even in churches, that, oh, that's not going to happen to us. We're just a little church over here. Nothing's going to happen to us. But picking the right people is incredibly important.
Yes.
There are people out there that how should I say it? They blow up their resume. They put designations on their resume that they did not earn. Education they didn't earn, and on paper they look like a great candidate, and that's a person you want to have in there. But you got to dig deeper, and you got to go out with them and see them in the field. But you know, we have ex-military on our teams. We have we just brought on a new guy for an assignment. It used to be George Tenet, his driver and protection agent with the CIA. You got to get the guys that have been there and know what to do. And nothing against law enforcement. I love law enforcement and first responders, but law enforcement, they're not trained to be protectors. They're trained to be reactors. And a story, I was on a detail for 9.5 years with three other guys who were former CHP, Governor Protection Detail guys. But before that, they were motor cops on the freeways of California. But even they, when they decided to do that, and were recruited to go to that side of the department, they had to go through training because they were not trained for protection. They trained to be protectors. So you've got to look into the people that you put at your church and make sure that they're actually qualified and know what they're doing. You have to put a plan together, because that experience you bring to the table with the CIA gentleman that you have running security there, you're going to have better site security. You're going to have better threat assessments. You're going to have the anticipation that it takes to become a good protector and someone that can manage a church situation like that, to make sure people are safe. It may feel fuzzy and warm for the congregation to see someone stand at the front door with a firearm, but that does not mean that
No.
that person knows how to use it. Doesn't mean they're actually qualified. They may say they are, but they're not. So that's important too.
Yes,
Just finding the right people, but if you're going to put it in there, you got to do it right.
Amen.
It's
Amen.
interesting you mentioned law enforcement, because I've been told, like, for home security, the police, in order to act, have to have a cause. So if they just see people on your property, that's not a cause. If you have a no trespass sign on the front of your yard, now they've got a cause to jump in and do something. Otherwise, then they've got to wait till they break through the front door or do something else. That's a cause. And so they're kind of hand-tied at, like you said, Frank, that they can't do anything until they can react.
Yeah, that might be tough on the front of a church, no trespassing. Right. But other than that, that's good.
Only with the Holy Spirit.
You get right. Yeah. Right, Dave, that's right.
The university, the type of university is public or private, makes a difference on whether law enforcement can actually go on the campus or not.
Yeah, I saw that with Columbia.
Correct. Same thing with the state and the federal government. You know, President Bush got a lot of flack for Katrina, but it took the governor of Louisiana 3 weeks and a meeting on Air Force One in the conference room for her to be forced into finally asking for federal assistance. Because the government can't go in, federal government can't go into a state without the governor's permission. And with the private university, police officers cannot go on that campus unless they've been outside police officers. They have their own campus police, which I understand they just took off. But the NYPD couldn't go into Columbia until they asked them to, which makes it even a bigger problem. But in California, the public universities, they don't have to have that permission to go on those properties. So that makes it a little easier when it's a public university from private.
I think that's another one of those little known things of people in the public, because, you know, we don't know a lot. We don't know about the separation of powers. We don't know about, you know, they assume that the federal government can, and then we have some people in the federal government who automatically assume certain things also. But that's another story. But I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's one of the things that you hear this complaint. Like, why don't they do something? Mm-hmm. And you can't just march into a private place and do something if they don't invite you in.
Correct. Then you become the people that they're complaining about.
Exactly.
The people are coming in and holding oppression and all that other stuff comes into play if you do that.
Yes.
Even the same way with fires, wildfires in California. The congressman I was protecting and working for had to fly out with Bush and Dianne Feinstein to try to convince Schwarzenegger to do the same thing, and he didn't do it. And so they couldn't get federal help for some wildfires in Northern California near wine country. It's just a lot of people do not know that. They still blame Bush for Katrina, but they didn't know that the Democrat mayor and governor of Louisiana were holding off on the decision. They're trying to do it themselves.
Yeah. Because they could not bear giving him credit for it.
Yeah. And we have that problem today, too.
Yes. The other thing with me, with the things going on with the college campuses and the other communities where they aren't covering, I think the other thing that people don't realize that, you know, you mentioned the organization that's actually behind all of these. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, and I'm glad some media is finally focusing that. But I think the thing they miss out on is how deep this goes. This wasn't even over a few months. This has been in the plan and in the works for years. They needed a spark. They needed something to, you know, to kind of set this thing off. I'll still contend that Hamas attack in Israel was something planned and intended to be the spark they needed. There was an interesting case here in Texas. There's an organization that used to be in just outside in Richardson, Texas here. They had a big trial, the Holy Land Foundation trial. And there were a couple of unindicted co-conspirators, a part of that. Well, that entire organization ran by so-called Palestinians, mainly Hamas and a couple other organizations. The Holy Land Foundation disappeared, but the Muslim Brotherhood and those organizations did not. And those organizations are now behind the scenes forming these student organizations and community organizations that are now doing the very same thing that they were intended doing 20 years ago. It's the thing is so wicked and the tentacles run so far, so deep that it's mind-boggling and frightening, which is why I go back to the question of how do you make people aware, even their communities? You know, there are things that are happening around you and you need to be aware of them and understand it. For instance, I'll give you an example. Here in our community, within 5 miles of me, in a direction, there are five major mosques.
Yeah.
With 5,000 or more people that are there on a regular basis. Now, There are two of those mosques are what I call mainline. There are two others, however, that I would say, from my background, are very radical.
Mm-hmm.
But no one here knows that.
Hmm.
No one. It's and you say, okay, where do the people who frequent that mosque with that radical element, where do they live? What neighbors are they in? Mm-hmm. I have neighbors in a, well, the other neighborhood I lived in, a gentleman who's there three or four times a week, but he has a wife and two kids, but he also has another wife and two kids. But there's also a number of very young men, 25 to 35 year olds, who happen to always be there on and off through the week. And you go, officer, there's something nefarious happening at that house down the street. And they mm-hmm. go, well, you can't do that. Now, the entire block thought I was losing my mind. And I'm saying, mm-hmm. listen to me. You need to understand who's living here, who they are, and what they're up to, or what they potentially could be up to, because it could really cost you somewhere down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Ron,
no one listened to that. No one. HOA, police department, no one. And the Ron, same thing when I talk about these two different mosques. No yeah. one listens, but they have no clue.
Wow.
Ron, I got a quick question. Didn't they find, if I remember reading, an armory under one or two, one of them particularly, of those mosques in that Dallas Plano area?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. So that's all the more what you're trying to tell them. Yeah. Sheesh.
Well, yeah, that, and that's the, I think the frightening thing is, to me, I think one of the most outrageous things was the government swept the rest of that under the rug. That case should have went on and included, I think, 17 more individuals and at least three other organizations. But there was some kind of shenanigans going on with the federal government when the change of government. They sort of decided, well, you know, we'll just leave the rest of it alone. We're going to make nice with the Muslim Brotherhood. And I won't get into the politics of it.
Yeah, here's the, yes.
To my horror, some of those folks were brought into the federal government, thanks to President Bush. And to the FBI, the Pentagon, other places, and now they were going to help sort of acclimate and train our government officials, you know, so they have the right idea about the Muslim Brotherhood and about Islam. And it was a brilliantly wicked move on their part, and a dumb, absolute moronic move on the government's part. And that organization has gone from federal government with federal government approval, through prisons, through the military, and now on every single college campus, every major college campus in the country.
Yeah.
Hence why you can find all of a sudden go from one demonstration to 100 demonstrations in less than a month. Mm-hmm. That's not possible without pre-planning over long periods of time and strategy and all sorts of things, and mounds of money.
Yes.
Yeah, we're starting to figure out, and that's starting to be brought out in the public. Politico just did an article about where the money for all these protests are coming from.
Mm.
And there's some names on there that everyone knows, Rockefeller, Soros. And there was one left-leaning news media outlet that goes, oh, really? I'm surprised.
Yeah.
They've been doing it for years. They've all known that. But that's where it all starts. And it doesn't start with this. The money thing has to start way down the road, too. It doesn't.
Yes.
Come in overnight and get, you know, somebody go down to Camping World and, or not Camping World, but REI and buy a bunch of tents. But I mean, it's a planned out long-term strategy. 2016, remember the summer 2016, yeah. All the peaceful protests that there's still damage downtown Dallas and buildings and people that didn't go back to those buildings, 2020. Yeah. So they're all organized, and we got 6 months of general election, which is unusual, and it's not going to get any better.
And you know, I find it also sort of curious that just in 2016 and 2019, this happens to be just before the election that all this sort of, you know,
shocker.
Just coincidence. That's coincidence.
Yeah.
What would you say to looking at that? Oh boy, I remember that Moss thing, Ron. That's interesting. You bring that up. What would you say to like Steph's question, especially moms and dads? I mean, I saw the one girl crying because Arizona State refused to graduate. They have these names on a list. Their degree will be useless and they will not graduate. And she's just crying her heart out. And the minute you mention, which she doesn't understand anyway, she knows nothing about the history or anything of the difference between arguing with a Palestinian who what they will do, which they did do on October 7th, and the others, and it's on Holocaust Day too, Remembrance Day. What would you say to someone like that? Because they could do. I mean, what would you tell your kids? I mean, today I'm trying to think. What would I tell my kids? How would they be aware? I know your program is neat. You might want to mention that too, the program, but that you're teaching 1 second. I mean, how can they get something from that, Frank? Whoa, there's bring your guard dog. Point yeah, one.
It's this tiger here.
Bring tiger.
Well, in the neighborhoods and everyday situations, I mean, Ron, you'll remember this. They had a Middle East group of guys that were surveilling President Bush and had a right. plot to assassinate President Bush. Right. And he goes to the, you know, he works out at a specific place 2-3 times a week. They know that. They know where he lives. They follow his movements. And here you have a small Secret Service detail. You have a couple advanced guys and you have maybe 4 others. That's not enough to be able to see something of that caliber. So what is the person that goes to the grocery store a chance that they have when someone's out in the parking lot targeting him for, right. for whatever reason, or upset because they got fired from the grocery store the day before? It all comes down to being aware. And it all comes out to there's indicators. Like I said before, there are always indicators before something happens. There's always at least 3 that you can pick up before it happens. Mm-hmm. The family I protected when we went to the grocery store, the boss was always worried about his wife going to that grocery store because people had followed people home from that grocery store and accosted them and attacked them in their driveways. And I think one of them was fatal, but I don't remember. That was a year and a half ago. So, you know, I don't make the principal do that. I go walk around the store and you see the parking lot when you drive in and you go into the store and someone's in an aisle with no basket or cart and really just acting weird, not shopping, just hanging around. That's probably someone you want to keep an eye on. I think I've used this analogy once before. So, mm-hmm. Same thing for kids, for anybody else. You're walking down the neighborhood and there's a car down the street that you do not recognize that's just sitting there with somebody sitting right. in the car. I mean, it's a red flag. I mean, I'm used to it. I see it every day, but most people are looking at their phones or adjusting their radio when they're leaving their house. Some people don't even know if their garage door, remember 4 miles down the road, if they actually close their garage door. But, you know, those things stick out, but if all it takes is a little bit of practice to see, you know, I still go around my neighborhood different ways when I come in. There's 4 entrances and exits to where my house is. There's only 2 ways to get to my driveway, but there's 4 different entrances and exits to get to the street that I live on. I still come in different ways because there's been somebody that was breaking into cars 3 houses up. There's a guy across the street down the street that had a car stolen, and it's a nice neighborhood. You wouldn't expect it here. And so I still, you know, I drive down the road and I can see somebody that's made the same turns, and I see down, you know, 4 miles down still behind me, or when I've made a few turns. It's very common sense stuff, very easy stuff to do, but that's how you notice these things happening. Strange packages. And we had the rental house we had before a couple years ago, there was a house down the street that they rebuilt their entire upstairs and blacked out the curtains, but they had lights upstairs that were so bright all night long that it could have been in a football stadium. I mean, I don't know what they were doing. They got big packages. They had people coming and going all the time. If you don't notice that kind of stuff, you don't know if someone, you know, there's something nefarious going on across the street. Is someone building something across the street? And they were not from this country, so it makes you even more aware with the people that are showing up, and then they're kneeling down in front of the door before they go in. It just starts to get a little eerie at some point when going on. But you have to notice. Some of the neighbors may not have noticed that, but that's those are kinds of things that you have to, you know, pay attention. Yeah. The main thing.
Yeah. I have to say, just recently, I parked my car and went for a walk. And when I got back, there were like two new cars parked in the house that was across the street from my car. And I'm like, I'm looking around, is there a daycare here? Or why are these people dropping people off? And I mean, because that I could understand if it's, you know, you're dropping kids or something. Like, nope. And as I'm leaving, two more cars are coming down there. And I'm like, something's going on there.
So maybe a student at a college should maybe, Frank, check the halls, check the routes to their classes, get a visual of what's normal and or figure out what that would be. I don't know, but wherever they're eating and everything, stuff like that.
They're going to get a baseline just on their own. You don't want to go tell. And if you're doing that and you're being diligent enough to do that yourself, don't tell everybody you're doing it.
Yeah. Right.
Weirdo. But you want to keep that information. You build your own baseline of what the student store looks like and the people that are in there, and you start to figure out, okay, how, and these are things you can train for, but you consciously think, okay, who's going to be in the student store? There's going to be some students. There's going to be some student people working there. And it's probably going to be an adult or two that's probably managing the facility, maybe a delivery guy or two every once in a while. And you're used to that because you see it every day. You go into the bookstore to get a coffee or whatever, if there's something in there like that. So when somebody else comes in, I guarantee you there's been times where people had a weird feeling about it and didn't say anything, or just thought it, just didn't pay any attention or care to think about it, because you do set a baseline on things you do every single day. We're habit creatures of habit. So that baseline becomes an automatic thing. You go to a movie, you expect certain things when you go to the line for concessions, when you go to the ticket person to zap your thing. And if something changes in between there, so I'll give you an example. This just popped in my head, so this is going to be a crazy one. So McDonald's is known and is so – they're not very good food, right? But they're known for their process, right? Go through a drive-through next time you go through McDonald's and ask for no onions, add mayonnaise to your burger. The person on the other end freaks out because their baseline just got blown up. Whoa, wait a minute. You want this on it? Yeah, all I want – just take off the onions and put mayonnaise. Oh, do you want cheese? Yeah, their brain just can't comprehend it because they're basically so standard that everybody, I'll take a number two, please, medium. That's what happens in your head when something different comes along from what you see every single day. So when you're in church, Ron or Joe, and you got your congregation there and someone is sick or someone is upset at somebody or a couple is fighting, the person that's fight, they're gonna put off a vibe that's gonna be different. And you're going to pick up on it. And it's just a natural thing. It's just being able to tap into that understanding that already naturally happens. You just have to recognize it and deal with it. Yeah. It's an inner feeling, whatever you want to call it, intuition, someone upstairs talking to you, however you want to put it. But when somebody comes through that doesn't belong there, that you don't ever see, or you ask for onions and mayonnaise on your, no onions and mayonnaise on your burger, that's kind of an exaggerated example, but that happens because in and out same thing. I have no veggies. You want the spread? Yeah, whole veggies.
Oh, you remember Harden Simmons? When we got there, people were worried and everything, but then when you and I showed up, nobody worried anymore.
Calm city. You know, I was thinking about McDonald's a little bit, order something like that, but they don't have any problems when you give them a $7 bill. You know, hey. I mean, nuts, can't count the money.
Hey, by the way, that was my first W-2 job was at McDonald's. You're insulting my
genetics.
It was my first job.
Yeah. You're right, though.
Yeah.
It doesn't take
much. Goes down automatically when there's Dallas Cowboy stuff in the back.
Oh, yeah.
He's clean.
Well, I think one of the probably one of the biggest problems with us is that over the decades, and again, I sound a little crazy, but I think it's a satanic thing, but yep. People play into it. So over the decades, we've been slowly sort of indoctrinated and trained to kind of disconnect from people, from neighbors, from other people. And we live in our own worlds. And the further we get along, the more isolated we become. Man. It's like one of the things that the weird guy Ron does in every neighborhood I live in, my goal is to get to know the first name of every single person on both sides of my street on my block. And I'm going to get to know something about them somewhere down the line. I need a trigger, that kind of a hook, and get a conversation going. But part of it is for possibility of witnessing. The other part is I want to know who lives on my street. And I'm weird because no one else knows anybody. No one, you don't have people. When I was a kid, everybody played with each other. Everybody talked to each other. You get on from work and your parents stand out on the sidewalk back and forth, talking in the yard for a half hour. Hey, we got to get dinner done. Come on, let's go. But you knew Miss Emma, you knew Mr. Jones. And if a red car pulled up to Mr. Jones' house five doors down, hey, there's something happened to Mr. Jones' house. There's this red car there. Everybody knew that red car didn't belong there. Or there's a blue car, a blue Mustang parked on the street. Everybody knows that person doesn't live here, right? And everybody wanted to know who you are and why you're here.
Correct.
We don't have that anymore. People know who their neighbors are. They don't know their names. They don't know their schedules. They don't know when something unusual happens or doesn't happen there until, like you said, an after the fact. And it's the same thing people in their personal interaction with people. Walk in a store, and I do. My wife thinks I'm absolutely insane. I do weird stuff to people in stores because they do stupid things. And one example, I used to do this personal protection training when I was back doing martial arts, mainly women. And one of the things that women do habitually, they get in the grocery store, they put their purse in the top part of the basket, and they walk down the aisle looking for something. The purse is sitting right there. And I will walk by, grab the purse, put it underneath my arm, and walk past them. And when they come back to the basket, put their stuff in and look for something else, I come back and say, "This is your purse, ma'am." And they're shocked. I'm going, how are you that unaware that you don't see somebody pick your purse up? Or I'll go into a store and someone's standing looking at product. I walk down, I'll move their basket, and I'll say, "Hi, how are you?" And they'll go, "Hi," and they'll turn back around and look again. "Marvin, right?" And they look at me and they go, "What?"
This is what your wife hides from you.
She does. She avoids.
That's where she can the other
stop
arm.
Doing and that.
You could make good money. You could make good money around with a body cam. And a couple other cameras to show.
But that's my son says. Guys, you get a punk camera. But I mean, I do it to people because maybe it's a pet peeve of mine. I'm OCD. I hate when people are just completely unaware of their environment. It drives me crazy. And every part of me just wants to help them do something. Notice what's around you. I mean, watching someone, and I did it yesterday. You left the front door of a major store. She walked exactly 45 paces to her car. She never looked up from her phone.
That's what I was going to say. These are so dangerous because you have no idea what's going on around you because you're
nothing.
Like,
yeah. I walked up to her as she was putting her stuff in the car, and I said, "Excuse me," and she jumped. And basically explained to her, "I watch you walk 45 paces to your car. You never looked up. I'm one of a number of people who could have walked right up, pushed in your car, got in your car, and drove off." But it's so I'm sorry, I went on that long road, but people have been trained not to be aware of people around them, not to be connected, be isolated. And because we are, we're completely unawares. Things happen and people are just blown away and completely, baffled by how that could ever happen. How is it that this guy could be in your neighborhood in a house mixing chemicals and you don't know it until there's a SWAT team show up? How is that possible?
No more hospitality.
Anyway, sorry. People at church who walk in, they have no clue who's sitting next to them. Remember the woman down at Joel Osteen's church?
Mm-hmm.
How does she get that far into a church and no one notices that she has...
Well, the police officer was on his phone.
There you go.
Anyway, sorry about that.
Well, I tell you what, folks. Hey, Steph, it's about time. I'm looking here, watching this clock. Could you give us a word to the folks? I've had about four or five people click in and how much they appreciate what the show is, and they're really enjoying the show, Frank. So that's cool. One's from Harden Simmons, our old school.
We need 2 hours, folks. We need 2 hours.
I know. Come this on. Went way too fast. Way too fast. Okay, so tonight we have TJ back, so he's going to do all the flashy things. So watch this magic. You can go follow along and find out everything that's happening by going to bbsradio.com/raising expectations. Look at that. This is why you need an engineer. Okay, so at the top, there's lots of ways that you can donate. There's also instructions if you need to reach out to Pastor Joe directly on how to donate. You want to give them feedback, all of that's right there. On the right hand side, there's all the live streams for all the different shows that BBS Radio has. Yes, thanks, TJ. And then if you keep going down, you will find out about each of the co-hosts, and past shows are right there, so you can click on them. If you missed them, they're right there. There's different co-host information, a little bit of bios and how to connect with us. And then there is Pastor Joe's book, and there is my husband's book, and just all kinds of goodies are on there. We're on all the major platforms, so you can find us there as well. But like I always say, fancy people like TJ that keep us in check and keep us online, that costs money and he deserves to be paid. So if you can give a little generous gift, we appreciate that so much. And yeah, I see there's guests laughing, so you're welcome.
That happens to be the Harden Simmons lady. I'm sure I mentioned it. She knows Paul real well, Melba. Thanks, Stephanie. That is great. And remember, the website's on there too, so you could pray for us. We sure pray for you. When you send one in, I pray for you. I have my prayer list in the morning and night. We'll reach to them for you. I know you do too. Frank, tell them real quick, we've got a couple minutes here about what you're doing, the seminar you're doing. And is there some way, is there any way that people can check into that? Is it local? Are you going to put it on the air at all? I've got it right here.
Yeah, one thing that I did while I did work for the family I was with before, I got certified to teach the SAFE program, which is situational awareness for employees. It can be done for any kind of groups, a church group, could be any kind of group of people. I can do it online on a Zoom or whatever. Back in the early 2000s, General James Mattis came up with a program in the Marine Corps called the Marine Corps Hunters Combat Hunters Program. It ended up saving a lot of lives over in Afghanistan when he was in charge out there. And a couple of the instructors created a civilian program where protectors like myself and law enforcement and others that do things protecting people. Oh, there's the website.
There we go.
That they it's on the second page, I think. third page, sorry. Yeah, there we go. I can't count. So some of the instructors from the Marine Corps that were teaching that program to Marines that were fighting overseas created a civilian version of that, and I was able to get certified for that. It takes a while to get certified for it. Most of the executive protection schools around the country teach it as part of the curriculum for graduating their protection classes and getting their protector certifications. So what it does is it teaches you different things like proxemics and kinetics and that kind of thing. Proxemics, just an example, is if you're in a group of people and there's two or three bad guys in there, the way they stand is going to be there's a definite pattern to how people stand in groups. The people that know each other are closer, people that are further apart are in different categories, and we go through some of that so you can identify if there's multiple people in a room that have bad intentions and see how they communicate. There's the kinesthetics where you see how they're acting and do that kind of thing, and then of course the pre-threat indicators. If you've ever heard of the book called Left of Bang, that book is what the program trainers wrote about the program. And it's on audio too. I listened to it in the car when I first took the course in 2010, and it's been a huge asset for my protection career
Great.
Because the situation.
We're gonna have
Okay.
to run there. Do they have a number they can get to you on that? We did see the other
Oh yeah,
just
it's on the website there.
great.
On that third page, there's a form they can fill out to reach out to and schedule a class as well.
Fantastic. Okay. There you go, folks. There it is right there. And check that out. And there's the direct number right there, 817-907-88. No, 8213. 817-907-8213. And that's with my glasses on. Okay, that's good. Rick, thanks so much. We appreciate you. It's Adam, Chris. You guys are the best, and the guard dog makes sure. And follow Frank on Facebook, guys. It's really great, the stuff he puts up. It's a real lift every day, just like Stephanie. It's a little different, but it's good, huh, Steph? The different things. So, everybody, thanks for tonight. Paul, thanks for the great intro on the background. Special award tonight for artwork from Dr. Hall. And ladies and gentlemen, we love and appreciate you being here. And Melba, I'm sure you're the one that texted that one text. Yeah, ha ha. Love and appreciate you too. Thanks you and all your friends tuning in each week to be with us. Frank, we'll be back to you soon. And God bless you and all that you do, and take great ministry in your business. Take care and continue to grow your outreach to help people. It's a great call God has on your life. That's great. All right, Ron, God bless you. Say hi to McKinney.
I will, sir. God bless you.
Hey, Tank, thanks.
Hey, Frank, thanks again, man.
Thank you. Thanks.
See you guys. God bless and keep you.
Thank you.
Remember, God's got a plan for you tomorrow. So check in with him tonight and he'll set you up in the morning. Okay. See you later.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.